As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it is another hoops-adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in D.C. Marcus will be joining us in a few minutes, but we're going to get started right now with our guests. We're very happy. I'm very happy to have him on the show, man. We've talked a couple of times over the years about a bunch of different things, and just glad to have you on for an extended period of time. From the Denver Nuggets, the hot Denver Nuggets, Bruce Brown joins us. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. The pride of... Wait. Is it Dorchester or Dorchester? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Dorchester for sure.
Dorchester. Okay. Yeah, man. I wanted to ask you all about that and just kind of, you know, your time growing up and playing for Coach L down at Miami and everything, man. So, but first thing I want to ask you is just, you know, you come to a new team, a good team, to be sure. But I always wonder when a guy has established himself somewhere else. So everybody knows you can play. You've proven you can play. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is, how can you play here with this team? And it's different. Every team's different. So what was the process, or what is the process like when you're trying to adjust what your skill set is to what they need?
I think it was pretty easy for me. Coming from just me playing basketball growing up, I was always a guard. Making the right decisions, making the right play. And then as I've transitioned, when I went to Brooklyn, it was like they needed something completely different. And I just wanted to get on the floor. I knew me being a guard wasn't going to get me on the floor because they already had so many great players in front of me who established themselves already in the league. So that was being a five, being a four, just doing things that would help the other superstars out on the floor, take some pressure off of them when they're getting double teamed and trapped. So I'll make the right play. But then coming here, I knew they were going to let me be a guard and go back to my original position. And I just had to showcase that in the preseason, show them that I can be a guard, make the right play, and knock down some three balls when they need me to.
Did you have a sense when you were looking at teams that, you know, after Denver traded Monty Morris, they kind of were going to need another guard in there? Did that factor in when you were looking at them?
Yeah, I was talking to Uncle Jeff Green, and I talked to Calvin, and they were like, listen, you come here, we're going to need you to play the guard because we know Jamal is obviously coming back from injury. Mike's coming back from injury. So they was like, you're going to start at guard. You may come off the bench at guard, but there's going to be minutes there for you to play to showcase what you can do.
So when you get there, we had Will Barton on the show last year when he was in Denver, and he said that it took him a couple of games, or, you know, a couple of weeks really, to realize, damn, that Jokic guy's not bad. You know, he didn't realize it at first. He didn't realize how good he was. It's different for you because he's a two-time MVP when you come in. So what is it that what are you looking for when you come in into how am I going to play off of this guy and with this guy?
So me, it was easy. I played obviously with Kevin Durant. So he catches the ball and pulls a lot of ISO ball. So at first I was like, all right, I'm still going to get the same cuts I did in Brooklyn. So that'd be easy. But here it's more, they want you to space out, give them more space. and not have the middleman cut every time, which they had me doing in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And now I'm obviously shooting the ball really well. So I had to get used to shooting more threes instead of getting to the floater more often.
Yeah. I mean, with your background, I always wonder when you, it's not that you didn't shoot in Brooklyn, but that wasn't what they asked you to do, but you shot before in every place you've been. And so I wonder if that muscle memory just kicked back in when you get back to Denver.
I think I had to work a lot more on my shooting this summer than I have in the past, just because I didn't do it for 2 years. They didn't ask me to do it for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I was in Brooklyn, I was focused on more scoring in the paint and corner threes. Now I'm shooting obviously above the break, corners, like anywhere, mid-range. So this summer it took a lot to just work on shooting above the break, being confident with it, and knowing that I'm gonna have to shoot more.
What was your summer routine like? How many shots were you getting up a day?
I don't know if it was shots, it was more feel. I learned from Patty Mills. I asked him, I was like, bro, you shoot the ball extremely well. Like, how many shots do you get on? How many makes? He was like, it's not makes, it's not attempts, it's just feel. Like, when it feels good, you're confident, everything's going, everything's flowing well, you're making shots. So now I just shoot until I feel good.
And so that could be 10 shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it feels, when it, everything's in rhythm,
everything's
you're
rhythm.
Done, it's a wrap.
I'm good.
Man, that's amazing. That's amazing. So, dude, I got to ask you about, you know, everything that's going on with your former squad, man. I mean, you know those guys very well, and you know Steve very well, too. And not so much about Kyrie's situation, but just more about just kind of like the pressure that's on those guys all the time. Like, there's never a light day there in terms of expectations and all of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, KD, Kyrie, all of them guys are there. So they have big expectations on them, obviously, from Kevin coming from the Warriors and Kai coming from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they're in New York. So everything is just going to be blown out of proportion because the media there. But obviously, those are great guys on and off the court. I love playing with them. I love being around them in the locker room. Kai is one of the best teammates I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Definitely miss those guys some days, but I wish them nothing but the best.
Yeah. So when you are looking at, well, I mean, did you think there was ever a chance you could go back to Brooklyn? Did you just think it's just time? I've just got to move on.
No. So in free agency, they came down before free agency actually started and we had a meeting.
Yeah.
And they were like, listen, we want you back. It was me. It was Sean and Jeff Peterson.
Yeah.
And this whole time I'm thinking I'm coming back.
Okay.
I'm not thinking much of it. And then once the Royce O'Neal trade went down, then I was like, oh, there's probably no chance.
Being a free agent, I mean, I'm sure it's exhilarating, but it's also terrifying, right? Because you want to make the right call. You're going to get paid. You know you're going to get paid.
Yep.
But it's what's the right fit. So when you were starting to look at other options, what were you looking for in terms of fit?
At first, I heard a lot that, like, teams didn't think I could be a guard.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean.
Watch the tape, fellas.
Me being in the role that I was in Brooklyn, so they probably didn't have a lot of confidence in me being a guard, moving back to the guard position. But I was like, my pitch to them and my agent's pitch to them was he played starting point guard his second year in the NBA and had great numbers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously I have this year to prove what I can do, and it's going pretty well so far.
When you had to make the adjustments to playing more up front in Brooklyn, do you look at tape of a guy like a PJ Tucker who had to do the same thing, kind of reinvent himself?
Or do you
just kind of figure it out on your own?
No, I kind of just figured it out on my own. I really just thought, like, what did I want the big to do when I was in the guard position? And I knew all the rotations in my head just from being a guard and seeing the floor. Yeah. So it was either two options. Either I catch it in the pocket floater,
right?
Or catch it, throw a corner.
Yeah.
So those are usually open. And I have Joe Harris and KD on my right side. They're not going to help as much. So the floater was working.
The floater game is your thing, man. I mean, it was your thing in Brooklyn to be sure. And I, you know, you see a few guys that utilize it a lot. You know, Trey uses it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it still seems to me that a lot of guys don't go to that, and that just seems to be such a natural thing in this game. If you're going mid-range, wouldn't that be the natural shot to develop?
See, and have me, your bag? Growing up, it was like you have to have the floater in your game being a guard. Right? Yeah. So that was always been my go-to shot. But as I got older, people started going away from it. More analytics, no mid-range, so it's more threes. And that really wasn't my game when I was younger growing up. Like, I didn't like to shoot a lot of threes. I like to get in the paint, floaters, mid-range. So I had to transform my game when I got into college.
It's crazy to me, man, because you've got to have something else. You know, if everybody, if it's five out and zero in, and there's a shot blocker, you've got to have something else.
Like, and in the playoffs, you're going to shoot way more mid-range than you do threes, I feel like. So
exactly.
You got to have it in your package.
Right, exactly. So it seems seamless. I know it couldn't have been seamless for you to get there, but what has worked so well for you right away in Denver, you know, off the rip?
I think just the confidence everybody gives me on the floor. Coach gave me the green light since day one. Goes out, he tell me to go out there, play your game. And then the guys on the floor want me to be aggressive. Yeah. When you pass up a shot, they're yelling at you. And then obviously you make it, if you're hot, they're going to feed you the ball. So that was just huge for me since day one.
And in this group, I mean, you're used to expectations, you know, you're used to high expectations to be sure, coming from Brooklyn, but is it any different in Denver, even though the expectations are the same or similar?
Yeah, I think everything's a lot more relaxed. Everybody knows our goal. Everybody knows what we can do. Everything's just a lot more relaxed. Maybe that's just us being in Denver and not being in New York. So everything's really calm, and I'm loving it so far.
So what's the – I like Denver. I've always – one of my – it's an underrated city, but it I'm sure every new – when you go to a new city, it takes some getting used to. So what – how do you get used to a city – when you're working there, and you don't really have 3 weeks or 4 weeks to kind of go out and see everything?
Yeah, I honestly haven't done much just because we haven't even been home a lot during the season. We probably had like, I want to say like 8 home games maybe.
Is that all?
We're on the road a lot. I haven't done too much here, but I'm trying to. I'm a golfer, so I've
really?
Golfed this summer.
What's your handicap, bro?
13.
Damn, that's not bad.
I started years ago during COVID, so
okay,
pretty decent.
Hold on. You started during COVID? You already at 13?
Yeah, I play a lot of golf. And I joined a country club also.
Man, you used to play. Come on. You used to play golf. No way.
I haven't played at all. Well, I picked up clubs during COVID.
How did you pick it? Why did you pick golf up?
So I was in Boston during COVID, and that was literally the only thing you can do. That was the only time I get to chill around my boys. So I went out to a driving range one time, hit a few balls, and then I went and bought clubs that night.
That's insanity. That's just insane. Listen, I started playing golf, and my thumb swole up. Like, yeah. And then the homie next to me, some old dude, was like, hey, man, just stop and take lessons.
Exactly.
You probably gripping it too hard or something?
Yeah, he said I was gripping too. He said my grip was all wrong. He was like, don't develop bad habits because it's hard to break them. He was like, just stop. I mean, some random dude was like, yo, cut it out, man. Stop and take lessons. And then you just figured it out in like 3 weeks.
If you look at my swing from when I first started to my swing now, you can tell like I put in a lot of time.
So are you a big, you know, are you a – you go to the range all the time now? How do you keep up with it?
During the summer, I joined a country club, so I'm there every day in the morning.
Oh, damn. So you get the – Marcus, you get the food too.
Hey, this is where we at, right? We got black people talking about I joined a country club. We're living it out here.
You know what? It's like when Brian Russell was big into skiing, and I'm like, black people don't ski? And he's like, yeah, they do, actually.
So, I don't know about ski. I skied once in my life, and I can't do it.
Yeah. No, he was big into it, man. He was a big skier, man. So yeah, man, I like Denver. It's different, right? I mean, it's just different.
Man, stop trying to be PC. You don't like Denver.
No, I do. Actually, I do. I like Denver because I had the best hamburger of my life in Denver, Marcus. I went to Ted's Montana Grill, right by, dude, it was fantastic. They had the buffalo burger. That shit, oh my God, it was so good. My God, best burger I ever had, man. So, no, I like Denver. I, I, No, oh, I, this is what I wanted to ask you. So tell us about the altitude, man. Real?
Oh, real. Yeah, when I first got out here and we played pickup for the first day, I was dead. went up and down twice, once, and I was finished.
Damn.
It's like real. It is real. That's like when teams come here. You can tell when teams come here and they play the first up and down, they're like, I'm like, yo, quick subs.
Damn. So how do you get used to that?
I just think just being here. Yeah. And it's tough for us because when we leave and go play somewhere else for a little bit and come back, we got to get adjusted to it again.
Yeah, right.
So you just got to be here.
So out of curiosity, you are a 6'4 center in the modern NBA.
We talked about that. You were late.
And bro, I was wondering, like, how big is Jokic? Like in real life? What? How big is Jokic in real life?
Jokic is 7 feet.
I mean, how does he feel? Have you matched up against him? Have you gotten to feel
like that? No. I don't play the center no more.
You don't get down there at all?
No. I'm not down there that much. I'm a guard now.
Yeah. He diamond people up, Marcus.
No, I mean, I see it. I figure in practice you switch the guy on him. It was like, yo, this dude is big. This is different.
Nah, I haven't guarded him, and I probably can't, I'm going to be honest. That's one player. He's too big.
All right, so his passing, people have said, Marcus, I told him when Will was on the show last year, he talked about the pass, obviously, the passing with Jokic. How different is it than anybody else?
He sees things happen before it happens. Like, you could throw him a lob pass, and he already knows who's open in the corner, and he throws passes, he's not even looking. He already knows it's already open. Twice in Golden State, he threw me two corner passes. I wasn't ready because I didn't even think he'd see me, and they went out of bounds. So I was like, you got to be ready with him 24/7.
So it's like playing with Mahomes and shit, right?
Yeah, literally. He just fires it corner, or he'll do like behind the back pass. You don't think it's coming. Like, it's insane.
I'm curious about this. You've developed yourself into a reliable 3-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Like, how difficult was that? Or was the early numbers just a product of being new in the league and not really knowing where to get your shot from?
I think early in the league, it was more confidence. Like, in college, I shot 38% from three. It was just getting in the league, being confident in my game, and then really just not caring about misses and makes. That was all it was. And I had to look at myself and I'm like, bro, if you're going to miss three, shoot the next three. And then last year during the playoffs, last year during the season, I shot 40%. It was just all confidence.
That's Robert Horry said that to me, and I couldn't believe it, Bruce. I asked him one time, I said, how do you get the courage to shoot all those threes in those types of situations? And he said, because I don't give a fuck if it goes in or not. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? It's like, seriously, that's how you have to be. I don't care. If it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
How you get that?
Right.
Last year, first half of the season, I shot 30% from three, right? All-star break hit. I didn't touch a ball during all-star break at all. I went, hung with my boys. We had fun. I did not touch a ball. I looked myself in the mirror. I said, bro, first of all, my contract's up. I was like, listen, you're going to get paid or you're not. You got to go out there and shoot the ball and play your game. And then I just started firing threes, and I ended the year shooting 50%. But ended the year shooting 40%, but second half of the season, I shot 50% from three.
But Marcus, Steph's got to be like that, right? I mean, I know he works at it, but I mean, he literally is like, I don't – it's.
Yes,
I'm going to shoot it, and we'll see what happens, right? Like,
but he does it from 50 feet, though, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, some people have it. Like, not everybody has it, right? Like, it's not – it's a unique skill. It's an ability like anything else. Like, how did you just say, all right, like if we could all do what you did with our lives, like, everybody would be better.
Right.
Be like, all right, I'm going to get this together right now. Like, how are you able to do that? Is it something – from your past and something in you that was all right, and now the flip is switched, and I don't care about it.
Honestly, I don't know. It was just, I literally looked myself in the mirror and said, bro, let's get it, and things turned around. Things clicked.
That was it, huh?
Damn, that was it.
That's amazing. Well, look, you developed, I'm sure, a lot of toughness growing up in Dorchester. So,
yep.
And I've talked, you know, I don't want to be, I'm trying not to be cliched about all this, because I got, and Marcus, we both have a lot of black friends in Boston. So it's not going that way. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there are challenges being black growing up in Boston and living in Boston. And I just wonder, like, it's just where I live. I can't do anything about it, so I don't worry about it. Or are you always kind of on guard when you grow up in there?
I think when I was younger, I didn't really do much. I only seen really black people. I didn't see a white person in Boston because I didn't leave the hood much. Yeah. I didn't see a white person until like seventh grade when I played AAU.
Okay.
But I mean, now I have a bunch of white friends. Yeah. I was in MECL program where they sent inner city kids to suburban schools, and then I went to boarding school. So at first it was just like, I'm here, it is what it is. And I mean, I know Boston has, there's a lot about what people say about Boston, but I haven't experienced anything personally. I mean, it's my city, so I mean, I love it.
I know there's a lot of pride in it with folks that they actually grew up there. They actually live there.
Red Sox tatted on my arm. I got the skyline. So like, I love Boston.
Boston is like this low key underrated basketball hotbed, right?
Yeah,
y'all got hoopers in Boston, don't you?
We got hoopers. It's just some hoopers. So there's two different lanes, obviously, with every city. People want to be hood famous, and then other people want to make it to the pros. But there's some people are content about being great and back at home in the hood, having that fame there instead of pursuing something bigger.
So who from the hood used to cook you?
Cook me?
Yeah, who's from the hood?
Nobody.
Come on, Bruce. Everybody's cooking their own hood.
I was never the first option. I'll tell you that. I was never the first option. But there's some names I can get. Mikey Rodriguez, great. Jalen Adams, my cousin, was always the top in the city for sure. He played at UConn.
Okay.
Who else? Keon Jones was great. He played at New Mexico State. Like they got to the college level, but
yeah.
Just didn't work out.
CBA, you can't defend like him without having gotten cooked back at home.
Oh, listen, I wasn't the best coming up ever. So there's definitely chips on my shoulder for a reason.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like the guards like, hold on, man. I have to eat out here. I'm different.
So man, I wanted to ask you because I was reading up on you know you had to take the bus to the different school.
Yep.
So did I. And I used to think a lot on that bus ride. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I on this bus? You know, why have I gotten this chance that other people I grew with that aren't getting and didn't get and won't get? I used to think about that all the time on that because the bus ride is about half an hour. I know it was a little longer for you. What did you think about on those bus rides?
I mean, it was early, so I was really sleeping in the morning. I think the bus picked us up at like 6:30, maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just a great opportunity because the high school I went to, it was probably the worst high school in Boston at the time. And they split it up into like two or three different schools.
Yeah.
So it's not one big school anymore. And then the athletics wasn't great. And obviously going to Wakefield High School was probably one of the best decisions I've made, going to Wakefield in Vermont. Just because it gave me a different perspective on life. I seen new people. I got to talk proper, I guess. Because if you met me before I got to Wakefield, I'd talk like I was from Boston in the hood. Like, didn't know proper English, like slang. So I created great relationships now. And those are my boys until this day.
So are you a great code switcher?
Code?
Code switcher. I
think I'm pretty decent because I know what I can say with my white group and what I like, so they can understand, you know. Yeah. But like, we actually kind of getting them up to date with the slang, to be honest. So they know what's going on.
That's my issue, Bruce. I don't know how to code switch, so I'm hood everywhere.
No, you're not. Stop it.
I wish I had that other part.
No, you're not. Marcus, you're the least code. You're the most code switching.
Nah, man. I don't know how to not say we be.
I mean, I still say stuff like that. Like, I can't switch that. But
how do you feel about the reputation? Do you feel like, hey, that's not my Boston, or are you out here fighting for the reputation of your city?
I mean, I know Boston. Listen, I played there in the playoffs. I got booed in my own city where I grew up. during the playoffs, heard some crazy things. Like, things have happened to me in the past in Boston that, like, I just don't even think about. Like, it. I move on from it. Don't even worry about it. Like, completely clear my mind. I just love my city. I love being from there. I know where I came from. And the people who do say stuff like that aren't from where I'm from. You feel me? So it is what it is.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you told me when I was writing the story, Marcus, this was the second anniversary of Kobe's passing. So I got Bruce was nice enough to talk to me on the phone. And you said the first game you saw in the Garden, you saw Kobe?
Kobe.
Yeah. And what was that like seeing that guy?
He killed us. Obviously, me growing up, I hated L.A. I wanted them to beat the Lakers 24/7. But that was a game he actually went crazy. I think they wore yellow jerseys. And I don't know his stat line, but the Lakers won on the Celtics' home floor. Yeah. And me being a Boston fan at the time, it killed me. But he destroyed Ray Allen, who was guarding him. And it was great to see him out there going crazy.
What did you learn from that? Because you're a young hooper at the time. You're growing up in it and thinking maybe this is something. What did you learn just watching him?
I thought it was I want to be on that floor one day. Mm-hmm. Like, just being in front of thousands of people playing, doing things that you love, people coming to watch you play. Like, I was like, I want to be out there one day. And my mom was she was with me at the game. She was excited watching basketball. So I was like, if my mom loves it, I love it too.
Is there a difference these days in Eastern Conference or Western Conference basketball? It used to be back in the day a different style. Yeah. And now you've gone from East to West. Is there any difference anymore?
I don't think it's a difference anymore. I think everybody's about the same.
So pace and everything, three-point
shooting is made off. I think now it's just like the younger teams. Some of the younger teams obviously play a lot faster just because they get up and down the floor. But I think everybody plays the same now.
A lot
of threes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm old. That's not my best. I don't love that, but I understand it's part of the game now. But like Marcus asked you before, you had to have a welcome to the NBA moment, though, where you just got –
Yeah, I had one player that I literally could not guard my rookie year, and I played great defense my rookie year, Kemba Walker, when he was healthy. That was like my short quick guards were like, Kemba was giving me a problem every time, and it was nothing I can do.
Yeah.
It was pick and roll.
He's that good.
Yeah. And this is when he's healthy. Like, he ain't had no knee problems. He was good. Yeah, he was scoring 30 a night.
Yeah.
The number one fourth point scorer in the league. Like,
yeah.
Couldn't do anything with him.
Hey, that's hilarious, though, because you've gone against some absolute legends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Kemba Walker. He's going to be like,
killing me.
Marcus, I told you the story. I asked Isaiah one time. I said, who was the one guy that you couldn't guard? And you know, he said, Steve Coulter. You remember Steve Coulter? You don't even remember him, do you? He was 6'6 with a jerry curl. He said, I couldn't do nothing with him. He killed me every time we play. Everybody's got some kryptonite guy somewhere that just kills them. There's nothing that they can do about it. So I always wonder about that. Yeah, so damn Kemba, and he just signed with Dallas, right?
Signed with
Dallas,
he's back.
Yeah, he's back in the league. So you'll be seeing him pretty soon.
I mean, now I'm good now, but my rookie year it was trouble.
Speaking of guarding people, to get out the West, and Denver is obviously one of the teams that can get out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
It's some pretty good guards you're gonna have to get through. Defensively, that feels like that's been Denver's one area where they need to get better at. When you got there, what did you see, and how much has that defense grown since you've been there?
I came in. KCP came in, so they got some 3-and-D guys. And then Aaron Gordon is a great, underrated defensive player, I feel. But now it's just – we just need time on the court. I mean, we're 20 games in, so we have our ups and downs. Our home games are better than our road games. So really on the road, we just got to communicate, I think. Our numbers are bad on the road just is really because of communication. We lack communication as much as we do at home.
Yeah.
But we're getting better. And our defensive scheme is different than other teams. Like, our big is up instead of other teams having a big and a drop.
Right.
So that puts a lot of pressure on our low man. So we're just trying to get used to it.
I can imagine that Coach Malone is nothing but, you know, wildly encouraging when y'all don't play no defense.
Yeah. He gets on us for sure.
Oh man, I love
he's
Coach Malone.
Finally, though, he's calm about it, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's, I like Coach Malone.
I do too. He's great. I do too.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, look, all my thing with Coach Malone was if DeMarcus Cousins says that's the best coach I ever played for, that's all I need to hear, man. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, I've always respected Coach, very, very much so. You mentioned KCP. He was here in D.C. last year, and I still think is a wildly underrated player.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at him and yourself, and obviously Jokic is a very, very good defensive player, what do you think, where do you think you guys can be by the end of the season in terms of that as a team?
Right now, we want to be top five in defense for sure, and we can get there. We just got to bring our defense on the road. That's really our big thing. I think teams score like 20 more points on the road than they do when we're at home. So we bring that, we'd be good.
What is that, you think? Is that, you said it's communication. Is that just more time, or is it the scheme is a little bit
complex? I just think we got to talk. You got to talk more on the road. I mean, obviously, because the crowd's not on your side. It's going to be a little loud in there. So we just got to talk a lot more on the road than we do at home.
Is there anything that you want to do in your career that you haven't already done? Winning a championship, sure. Everybody wants to win that. Is there anything else besides that?
I wanted to be on a defensive team.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be first, be second. Like, I just want to be on a defensive team at some point.
Right. Where do you think people, and when I say people, I mean your peers, you think they understand how good you are defensively?
Yeah, I think some for sure. I've definitely got a few superstars who, especially early in my career, like, oh, damn, like, you guarded me again. Like, come on, bro, just sit out one more play. Like, relax. Because, my rookie year, my first 2 years, I picked people up full court. And I think my first year in the league, I held people to 38%. People don't know that.
Right.
So
in Detroit, right?
In Detroit.
Yeah.
People know for sure.
Right.
So nobody understands this side of the ball. Like, not nobody, obviously people do, but generally people understand, including many of the voters, right? So what are you going to do about that? Are you going to rack up a bunch of steals? Are you going to rack up a bunch of blocks? Are you going to do like Pat Bev and lock the dude up and walk around talking about first team all defense?
Nah, that's
you got to do
me.
Something to generate attention.
I know you do, but that's not me. That's not me at all. Like, I get my stop and I move on to the next play.
Right.
How will people know you stopped them? Come
right.
on. We don't
you gotta, if you watch Denver, you'll know. You watch right. Denver. And then you can look at the percentages, I guess, on who scores on, like, I mean, yeah, if you look at the numbers, like, I get blocks, I get steals, like, I do all that too. But, like, I think the percentage of me going against a guy one-on-one, how many times they score on me, I think I have a good percentage, a great percentage.
So how much of that is you've talked about playing your whole life with a chip on your shoulder and nobody paid any attention to you. And even when you played EYBL, nobody really paid any attention to you. And I just wonder, how is that still there? Even though you're in the NBA now and you're making a lot of money and you're on a really good team?
Yeah. I mean, last summer, nobody paid attention to me either. They didn't want to pay me because they didn't think I could be a guard. I played a guard my whole life. So even though I did get a pay raise, which I'm happy that I did, it really, like, I was pissed when I took that phone call. Like, when my agent was like, listen, we got to take this or, like, we don't know what's going to happen. And I'm like, I just averaged 15 in the playoffs, shot 50 and 40, like, and nobody – believes in me that I can do this. I just did it on the highest level.
Yeah.
It's there for sure.
It's amazing to me that because it just seems like the NBA conspires against anger.
Defense?
Well, that too, but anger. You know what I mean? Or feeling disrespected because. Uh-huh. By being in the NBA, you're one of the 400 best players on earth, right? Yep. Like by definition. Mm-hmm. And you fly first class and you stay in great hotels and they take care of everything for you. And it just seems like it's hard to keep that edge. And I just wonder how you've kept it all these years.
Just little stuff that happens during the season. Like obviously this past, I go each season. My first year, I didn't play. I started my first game my first year. But I was young. I was trying to prove myself. So I would do anything. My second year, I had to prove that I could shoot. I had to prove I could be a guard. Then they traded me to Brooklyn for, I don't know why I was still young, but they were going a different route. And in Brooklyn, I couldn't shoot. And now I'm here, I can't play a guard. I can't. So there's always something that I can't do that I have to prove to someone that I can do. And I think the NBA always looks over players who go to a great team and have to fit in a role and then other teams like, oh, we don't know if he can do this here. It's like, I had to get on the court and do that in Brooklyn for me to get on the floor and do well. If I was a guard there, I would never play.
I think the other part too that gets overlooked is sometimes you get so good at the things that help you win, but those things aren't like readily tangible. Like you were talking about defense, right? A guy who, if you watch the guy on these theory shoots, right? Besides the fact people won't look that up. But you got to consider the fact that some people just will not go against you because of it. They're going to say, hey, let's screen him off me.
Let's screen him off me, yeah.
Just as much as a stop, but literally. You don't really get credit for that, right?
I mean, every team does that now. They get the primary defender off the scorer and then try to go at a weaker defender. That's what I'm so,
and there's no stat for that. Right, there's no stat for it, right?
Nope.
Like screen assists, you should get. There should be something like that for defense,
hey,
right?
Believe
like,
when you match up on Steph, Draymond is coming to get you off that. Like that's
for sure. And Draymond says the worst screens in the league. Him and Kevon Looney, hard screens.
Hold on, they're the best for Steph though, right?
Steph, Clay, all of them.
When you what say you they set the worst screens, what do you mean? They hit you?
Yeah.
And
sometimes moving. Screen.
You know who used to be the best ever
sometimes.
At that?
You can say it. Yeah.
You know who used to be the best ever at that? John Stockton. John Stockton would set a cross screen for Karl Malone.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal, man. Like, he would put his whole body into it, and he was a little guy, so they never called him for it. Like, but people used to hate them cross screens he would set, man. Oh, my God.
The worst in the league right now, I say, is Steven Adams.
Just because he's big or because he's physical or both?
He's going to hit you. He's going to hit you.
I would die on that screen. I'm not going.
So I'm when you play them, I'm always like looking over my shoulder, like,
right, you got your head on the swivel, on right?
So I can get ready.
You don't get credit for that, right?
See, you know his sister's like a Olympian shot putter. Like she won a gold. She won like a gold medal in it. Yeah. Or was is it the discus throw? Right? Some one of those.
He's from New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah. Their whole family is ridiculous, you know. So, yeah, man. Well, look, man, Bruce, I can't thank you enough, man. I appreciate it. Anytime guys come on in the middle of the season, I know you got a million things you could be doing besides this. So I appreciate you coming.
This is the price of being at the top of the West, baby. Is this the fame blowout? You know what I'm saying? It's the price you pay. I'm sorry.
Anytime you need me, I'm available.
Bruce, appreciate it. Man, and I'll say this to you. You are absolutely right that there's still this kind of thing about guys that defend and I always say, but aren't you supposed to stop the other team too? Isn't that part of this?
I'll tell you this, go in free agency this year. I'm not going to see the team. My agent was talking to a team and they were like, I mean, now they need defense. Now they need defense, which I mean, they're decent, but he was like, are you interested in Bruce? Like, what do you think about him? They're like, no, we need scores. And I think they might be one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Oh, my God. So. It's just crazy to me, man.
It's crazy. They kind of did you a favor, to be honest.
I mean, I'm happy that Denver's been a great spot for me. So, good. Denver chose me, and I chose Denver.
Well, continued success and good luck to you, bro, man. Thank you again.
We will never understand your value. We'll get used to that. We won't get
that
it.
Is
we
a fact.
We that just is won't fact. Get it. Keep it chip because we only care about TV.
Right. No, you're right. All right, y'all. Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, if they can't leave the 5 stars, what do you need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We'll run you off of Steven Adams, Jay.
Exactly. We love you, Jay. We're out.